Genesis 42, verse 18. Then Joseph said to them the third day, "Do this and live, for I fear God. If you are honest men, let one of your brothers be confined to your prison house. But you go and carry grain from the famine of your houses, and bring your youngest brother to me, so your words will be verified, and you shall not die." And they did so. Then they said to one another, "We are truly guilty concerning our brother, for we saw the anguish of his soul when he pleaded with us, and we would not hear. Therefore, this distress has come upon us." And Reuben answered them, saying, "Did I not speak to you, saying, 'Do not sin against the boy,' and you would not listen? Therefore, behold, his blood is now required of us." But they did not know that Joseph understood them, for he spoke to them through an interpreter. And he turned himself away from them and wept. Then he returned to them again and talked with them, and he took Simeon from them and bound him before their eyes. Then Joseph gave a command to fill their sacks with grain, to restore every man's money to his sack, and to give them provisions for the journey. Thus he did for them, and so they loaded their donkeys with the grain and departed from there. But as one of them opened the sack to give his donkey feed at the encampment, he saw his money, and there it was in the mouth of the sack. So he said to his brothers, "My money has been restored, and there it is in the sack." Then their hearts failed them, and they were afraid, saying to one another, "What is this that God has done to us?" May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his most holy word, beloved.
Thank you, Brother David, for reading the word of God. Just thinking about the mercy of God, and I was asking myself the question as Fred was leading, how do we live in God's mercy? In the very least, we have to acknowledge that we need it. Every moment, every hour, every day, we need the mercy of God. And we also have to acknowledge that God gives it. Every moment, every hour, every day, God gives it, and we have to receive it. We receive it. And the basis of that, of course, is our Savior, Jesus Christ. We're so glad you're here today. Do you realize that being here today is an act of God's mercy? Amen. When we gather for worship today, it's the mercy of God being manifested, and we should be thankful. Let's bow our heads right now as we prepare to look into the Word of God this morning. Father, we rejoice in the great privilege of being here. We know that it is a gift of your grace. It's a manifestation of your mercy that we are here. And Father, even when I say that, I know that the basis of that is your Son, Jesus Christ, the God-man, crucified for us, raised from the dead. Because Father, every good gift comes from you through him. All that we have comes from you through him. And we are thankful and praise you. And even now as we open up the scriptures, we know that this is a gift. You've not left us to live our lives without direction, without truth. And Father, you've given us your word. And as we look at this passage this morning, we ask for your help. We ask for the Holy Spirit within us to illuminate our thinking, keep us focused, turning to you as we look at truth before us, and we look to you to take this word and change us for your glory. Thank you for this process of sanctification. Thank you that it's you who does it. We submit to you. We humble ourselves before you. And this too is your mercy. We thank you. Look forward to now to what you will do. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. 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 Last week in our study, we saw a very important principle that is repeated over and over in the Scripture. That principle is this: your sin will find you out. Your sin will find you out. That means that God always knows our hearts and our actions. It means that God will hold us accountable for our attitudes and deeds. It means that whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. It means that you cannot hide forever from your sin. We may try to hide, but our sin will find us out. It means that the guilt of our sin will hunt us down and find us. Our sin will find us out. We've seen this in Genesis chapter 42 in the life of Joseph's brothers. And remember, they're a hard bunch of men, but their sin will find them out. And God will use circumstances and God will use people to reveal their sin and to bring them to repentance. God is working in their lives to reveal their sin. So how does God do it in their lives? And how does God do it in our lives? Here's what we learned last week. First of all, that God will use trouble to wake us up to our sin. He will use the hardships and the distress and the sufferings of this life to wake us up to our sin. God used a famine to get the attention of these brothers. We also, number two, learned last week that God will use mistreatment to wake us up to our sin. When the brothers of Joseph arrived in Egypt, he recognized them, but they did not know him. And God would use Joseph's words, his hardness, his sternness toward them to test them and to see their hearts. God knew their hearts, but Joseph wanted to see their hearts. Number three, we learned this last week, that God will use time for thinking to wake us up to our sin. All the brothers are thrown into prison for 3 days. Now think about it, 3 days in an Egyptian prison will cause you to think. And God was using that to change their hearts. So as we continue our study this morning in Genesis chapter 42, please don't leave these truths in Genesis. Don't leave these truths in Egypt. This truth that we look at this morning is for me and for you today, right now. So there's one additional way that God will reveal our sin. God uses grace to show us our sin. At this point in our record, Genesis chapter 42, Joseph's brothers' consciences are just stirring from a long sleep. They have this gnawing sense of guilt, but it's yet not focused on God. The words and actions of this stern Egyptian ruler who stands before them has moved them to think of their past sins, and especially their actions toward their brother Joseph. Now Joseph has put them into prison for 3 days, and so they have plenty of time to think about their situation and their lives. And Joseph himself has changed his plan. He will send all of the brothers back to Canaan except one, and in this way, the food and the grain that's needed so desperately in Canaan can be carried back by these men. One brother will remain in prison to prove their truthfulness. Look with me at verse 18. And then Joseph said to them the third day, "Do this and live, for I fear God." I want you to notice that Joseph is the first one to mention God in the context of this passage. And actually, by mentioning God, He gives them hope. You know, I have to step back and ask myself when I study this passage, what did those brothers think when this Egyptian ruler, this harsh, hard Egyptian ruler, stands before them and says, "I fear God"? You would think that that would be some type of a clue or something to move their thoughts toward God. Perhaps God did use that. But Joseph does that. And it's this act of grace that works in the hearts of the brothers, and it begins, I believe, to turn their thinking toward God. Look at verse 25, because Joseph will also show them more grace by returning their money. In verse 25, "Then Joseph gave a command to fill their sacks with grain, to restore every man's money to his sack, and to give them provisions for the journey. Thus he did for them." So Joseph is treating these men with grace. They may not realize it. They may not understand it at this point, but he truly is treating them with grace. The brothers themselves, they don't mention God until verse 28, after that they've discovered the money in their sacks. Look at that verse. "And so we said to his brothers, 'My money has been restored, and there it is in my sack.' And then their hearts failed them, and they were afraid, saying to one another, 'What is this that God has done to us?'" Now that's an important statement, because in all of the previous chapters dealing with the history of Jacob and his sons, these men have never mentioned God before. And now, at this point in their lives, their thoughts are turning toward God. And it's Joseph's acts of kindness that causes them to be afraid and say, "What is this that God has done to us?" Hold your place in Genesis chapter 42 and turn with me to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. While you're turning there, I mean, we understand Romans 2. We know what Paul's doing in these first chapters of Romans. But here in chapter 2, he's talking here about God's judgment on rebellious mankind. Notice what he says here. He says, "Or do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance?" Do you see that? The goodness of God, the kindness of God, the grace of God leads us to repentance. Now, that's not the only way that God leads us to repentance, but Paul reminds those people, those believers in Rome, this is one way that God does it. Now, go back to Genesis chapter 42, because brothers and sisters, that's what we see in this passage. For the first time in their lives, these hard-hearted, worldly brothers saw the hand of God. Look again at verse 28, because it says their hearts failed them. Their hearts sank. They were afraid. They trembled. The word that is used here is the same word that was used to describe their grandfather Isaac when he trembled, when he discovered that he had been deceived by Jacob in the matter of Esau's birthright. And the word means to tremble with fear or to experience terror. And so the sons of Jacob and the brothers of Joseph tremble with fear, and their hearts begin to turn to God. "What is this that God has done to us?" John Newton, when he wrote that very familiar hymn, the words to that hymn, "Amazing Grace," said it this way. He said, "'Twas grace that caused my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved." You see, folks, God is at work here in the lives of these brothers. God is in this, and God is using Joseph to reveal his brother's sins. Now, the question then we need to ask as we think about this passage and we think about how God's working in their lives is this. Well, how does God use grace to show us our sin? How does God do that? Let me give you several ways this morning, and we see these in this passage. First of all, God uses grace when we're not treated as harshly as we deserve. You look at this passage, and there seems to be a parallel in Joseph's treatment of his brothers and their treatment of him. Now, it's not exact. It doesn't match exactly. The things that Joseph says to them and the things that he begins to do to them, I do not believe it's revenge. I do not believe that Joseph is trying to get back at them. I do believe that Joseph is trying to get a glimpse of the hearts of his brothers. He wants to know where they are. He wants to know what's happening in their lives because he has experienced their sin. So it's not retaliation. It's not revenge. And if you think about it, his actions toward them are not comparable to what they did to him because they intended to kill him. They sold him into slavery. He lived years of hardship. He was years in prison. They ignored his cries for help. They were ruthless in their treatment of their brother. Now, Joseph is very stern with them. He puts them in prison for 3 days, and he decides to keep one and then send the rest home with food for their families, and he returns their money. You see, folks, he wants to see their hearts. And we actually, in the passage, get this glimpse of Joseph's heart. As this is taking place, we catch a glimpse of his heart. And yet we think about not getting from God what we deserve and how God uses that to reveal sin in our lives. David said this in Psalm 103, verse 10. He says, God has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. You see, that's the grace of God. And it's God's grace when we're not treated like we deserve. And God uses that to show us our sin. There's a second way that God uses grace to show us our sin. Number two is this: God uses grace to make us what we profess to be. Now go back to verse 11. Go back to Genesis chapter 42. Go back to verse 11. When they first come into his presence and he begins to ask them some questions, verse 11 says this. This is their response to Joseph. They say, we are all one man's sons. We are honest men. Your servants are not spies. We are honest men. I would say that that's stretching it a bit for the brothers of Joseph. I mean, honesty has not been one of their strong points. With what we've seen through this record, I don't think anyone would ever walk away and say, those are good, honest men. It would be the opposite. They deceived the Shechemites and then killed them. They deceived their father with Joseph's blood-stained coat, or his coat that was stained with blood from an animal. Judah led Tamar to believe that he would give his youngest son to her as a husband, and he had no intention of doing that. And even now, they tell this Egyptian ruler who was standing before them, who is Joseph, that one brother is no more. And they don't know. They don't know that. They don't know what happened to their brother. All they know is that the last time that they saw him, he was in the hands of slave traders heading for Egypt, and they claim to be honest men. And so Joseph puts them to the test. And if they are honest, they will return with their younger brother and they will prove that their words are true. And you know, folks, we sometimes do the same. We claim to be Christians. We claim to love God. We claim our desire to grow and to get close to God, when in truth, there are many, many areas of our lives that don't look like Christians. And we love ourselves. And you know, there are times that we don't really want to get close to God. There are times when we don't really want to become like Jesus. And what does God do? What does He do? See, He could justly abandon us and leave us, but in grace He doesn't. He tests us and He proves us. And He will make us in His way what we claim to be. And that's the mercy, and that's the kindness, and that's the long-suffering and the grace of God. See, God uses grace in our lives to reveal our sin. Number three, there's a third way in the passage that we see that God uses to show us our sin. God uses grace in the midst of His discipline. So Joseph gives his brothers a glimmer of hope when he tells them, "I fear God." And again, they should not have expected that from a harsh Egyptian ruler. But folks, that's grace. That's Joseph even showing them grace. In the midst of this harshness, he shows them grace. And yes, there is a place for sternness. There is a place for chastisement. And that's what gets our attention. God uses that in our lives. But grace runs through it. Look at verse 24. "And he turned himself away from them and wept. And then he returned to them again and talked with them, and he took Simeon from them and bound him before their eyes." You see, folks, the compassion of Joseph is seen here when he hears his brother's conversation about their past sin. Now, don't miss this. Don't miss this, because these brothers are now having this conversation, and what language are they speaking? Hebrew. And they have no idea that this Egyptian ruler standing before them is a Hebrew and is their brother, and so he hears everything that they say and every comment, every word about their past, about him, and he hears it. And how does he respond? He turns away and he has to go in private and he weeps. You see, he's hearing and he is seeing the hearts of his brothers. And when he returns, he binds Simeon in front of them. And think about this. They saw the binding, but not the tears. And they must have thought that this man was a harsh man and a hard man, when in fact, he was acting out of deep love. And folks, sometimes we see God's binding, but not His compassion. But never, ever forget that His compassion is there. It's there. And so we ask ourselves, well, why Simeon? Why did He pick Simeon? Why would Simeon be the one that He would keep in prison? We're not told. We can think of other scriptures in this record. Simeon had been the leader in the killing of the Shechemites. In Jacob's final words to his sons, we'll look at that in a future study, he refers to Simeon's violence and anger. And so perhaps Simeon had a leading role in his brothers wanting to kill Joseph and finally selling him into slavery. And by putting Simeon in prison, that would prevent Simeon from influencing his other brothers and give him more time in bondage to break his hard heart. You know, sometimes God binds us in one way so that He can free us in another way. Amen. And through it all, Joseph did not reveal himself. Sometimes God hides Himself in the trials and the troubles of life so that His work of repentance in our hearts will be true and complete. In other words, God brings us down so that God can lift us up. God's motive in discipline is never punitive or vengeful or cruel, but it's compassionate and merciful and gracious and transforming. And folks, God knows exactly how much each of us needs to be broken. Amen. And that's what He sends into our lives. He does what's needed. And it may seem harsh and uncaring, but God's heart is always filled with compassion. And as a loving Father, He disciplines us so that we might share in His holiness. You see, God's grace works in our lives to reveal our sin. And finally, number four, God uses grace when He blesses us instead of punishing us. Now, if you think about it this morning, the brothers of Joseph did not deserve any kindness. Again, look at verse 25. Then Joseph gave a command to fill their sacks with grain, to restore every man's money to his sack, and to give them provisions for the journey. Thus he did for them. So secretly, Joseph ordered that their money be returned to them, extra food be given to them for their journey back to Canaan, and of course their sacks were filled with food for the families back home. Joseph loved his family. And I doubt that he knew how much this act of grace would actually scare them, because when they found that money in the sacks, they trembled with fear. They would have to face this man again if they returned with Benjamin, and surely they would be accused of stealing the money, and in their minds, there was no way out. And they trembled with fear. Someone would pay for their sin. But this very act of grace by Joseph would turn their hearts, because in verse 28 they say, "What is this that God is doing to us?" Grace had taught them to fear, and it would later relieve those fears and give them the joy of sins forgiven. Brothers and sisters, if God's hand seems harsh and heavy against you right now, you need to know that God's purpose is to save you from sin that will destroy you and damage others. And never forget, remember, realize this morning that God has treated you with great grace, and the punishment that you deserve, and the judgment that is justly yours, and the wrath of God against your sin was put on Jesus. It was put on Jesus. And Jesus took your place and paid the penalty of your sin. And all you need do is receive it. And the receiving of that grace is called faith. So this morning, as we close, I would simply say to you, don't turn away from God. Turn to God in repentance and faith, and you will know His amazing grace. Let's bow our heads. Father, again, we thank You for this time in Your Word. There is so much to learn from the life of Joseph. Thank You, Father, for this time You've given us. And even today, we know that it's an act of Your grace and mercy that brings us right here to this point. And Father, we come before You where we're at, where we are in life. And we know that in the lives of Your children, You work faithfully to conform us to righteousness, to the image of Jesus Christ. So, Father, we are looking with anticipation. Father, I do that in my life and in the lives of Your people for Your work through this Word. Help us to just get a glimpse today of You and how You work, revealing our sin and bringing us to Yourself. Father, we'll thank You right now for that work. And Father, whatever we see today, Lord, we know that it will be you working. Whatever we experience in our hearts today, we know that it will be you working. So keep us focused on you. Oh God, please, by your mercy, don't let us turn away from this place with sin. Unrepentant, hard-hearted sin. But help us to turn to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. 147 in your hymnals. 147. Let's stand and sing.